Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction, and free shipping, and that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast, and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
Space trash.
Trash in space.
Space trash.
Lifestyles, the rich and Uranus.
Space trash.
Celebrities, they're trash, but the astrology can help us understand.
Transmission incoming.
Greetings, trashlings, and welcome back to Space Trash.
Lost souls of rich Uranus. And I'm Sarah Almo.
And I'm Molly Malshine, and we're here to talk about a really, really uncomfortable TV show called Below Deck Dynanda.
Dynanda!
You made the... Sarah made... This is not... It's not funny, but it is. The can't subject line for the Zoom invitation was, Margo said Narwo. Were you trying to type out the way Australian people say Nar? And yeah. You wrote... Narwo.
Yeah, I did it quickly, you know. We're on the fly here. We got time. Also, happy anniversary. Mom used to go to her anniversary dinner, but like, right before I press send, I was like, is this how it would be spelled, like, phonetically? And I'm like, I don't know if you can do phonetics for like an impression of.
Yeah, I got it. It was funnier than how I would have spelled it. So yeah, really good stuff. Nar.
That is the vibe of this episode. Margot said no.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. So if you guys have been watching Below Deck Down Under, you don't have to watch it to watch the most recent two episodes, which are honestly two of the best episodes of television in reality history, I would say.
I could not agree more. And they should play this in like, what is it called when we were in school growing up and it was like sex class?
Sex ed.
Sex ed. This is such a great. Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Sex ed. Oh yeah. Oh yeah. No, my brain's like no.
Yeah.
Sex ed. Duh. Okay. So that's stupid. Yeah. But yeah, I thought it was like perfect, uncomfortable, but like really valuable. And I feel like we talked about this maybe a few seasons of like Racist New York Housewives ago, where it's like part of the actual. Like accidental value of this reality TV world is that people stumble into like actually really deep cultural topics and then they have to, you know, address them in real time. And I feel like this was a great example of that where it's like, oh my God, like, why is this even being filmed? And you're like, oh, you know what? Because it's for the greater good.
Yeah, it really is. And what they need to do really is like make men watch it and women, because
100%
obviously there was a predatory woman in here as well, which you don't really see as often or you don't see acknowledged as often. And it's interesting because I think if the only predatory situation in the episode had been Laura's, I don't think people would have taken it as seriously. But because it was put right next to the Luke thing, which was have you seen the screenshots of him looking over at the producers while he's bent over her naked in the bed? It literally looks like a crime scene investigation. It's horrific. But like his thing was so, what he did was so horrific. What she did was also so bad. But like the guy who she was doing it to, the guy from Brooklyn or whatever, it's sad because for men, I feel like they feel, because of toxic masculinity and the patriarchy, like they need to kind of laugh it off. And he's like, you know, he was like, both him and Margot blamed themselves. It was so sad. They both are like, you know, I didn't want to be rude. I thought I was being clear. And then you've just got these two fucking psychopaths running around the boat, just not listening to anything.
Yeah. And I also thought what was so interesting is how much guilt they both felt when Luke and Laura were terminated. Like I just feel so related to that, which is like even in like minor situations when I like tell someone how I like feel and then I'm like, now I feel bad because they feel bad, and it's like, no, Sarah, you felt bad in the first place. Like, it's okay to actually stand up for yourself.
I know. Oh my god, that captain, like, he was already hot before, and then seeing how he just snapped into action and was like, fuck these people, they're out. It was so sexy. God.
Yeah. Right. His complete and total. There was not even I guess it's edited, but you don't get the sense that there was, because you see the conversation play out. There was not a hint of deliberation, hesitation, even a thought about it. It was like, okay, they got to go. And it was like, And I loved that. And I also just in my deep dive for like 5 seconds while I was walking this dog, and I'm like, who are these people? I feel like it's a real redemption arc for him, because if I read the Down Under wiki properly, he was actually known most, like before this, his big claim to fame was that he crashed a yacht. So I'm like, wow, this is comeback season for the captain. Like, way to get us, way to stop before the crash this time.
Yeah, true redemption arc. Yeah. I was thinking about that as well, how not just that it was
that did happen. If we have more time another time, or I can look into it, but gotta know about him crashing a yacht. Like, I know, how?
It's so funny. On Watch What Crappens, my favorite Bravo podcast, they make reference to him crashing the yacht all the time. It's funny.
Really, a funny stat. It's really bad.
I was thinking about how he did act so quickly and decisively to fire them. And of course, as a journalist, I always have sort of my lawsuit brain turned on. And I was like, you know, this is another situation where the fact that there was video footage and a video team there, I think is what also helped him to take that action so quickly. Because he would have been opening himself up to a lawsuit if he fired them with no proof and didn't give them a chance to, like, they could easily sue for wrongful termination if they felt that what they did was not creating an unsafe work environment or was not discriminatory and things like that. So, like, these are two instances where, first of all, thank God the crew was there because they stopped both things from going any further. And second of all, thank God the crew was there because I'm sure they shared that footage with him or told him about the footage so that he could be comfortable making that decision. Because if you didn't see the footage as an employer, you would, even no matter how much you sympathize with the two victims, you still would be like, well, fuck, like, what if I fire them and they sue? Like, you know what I mean? So it was just like, thank God for once, thank God there was a crew capturing these like drunken shenanigans, which they weren't, they were worse than shenanigans, but you know, people talk a lot about like reality TV being exploitative, and
It's like, actually people are exploitative either way.
Yeah.
Like, and Luke and Laura, extremely exploitative people.
I know. And you know what is so interesting? And again, not funny, kind of a coincidence.
We apologize. We are naturals.
Yeah. Luke and Laura is the name of the famous couple from General Hospital in the 90s.
Oh my God. So now these two need to go back to the hospital, but on the other end, they need to go inpatient, full inpatient with Luke and Laura.
It's such a bizarro interpretation of the 90s television craze of soap operas that's now morphed into a new craze of reality TV and like capturing these really uncomfortable, borderline criminal moments and just having all of America be addicted to watching the fallout. It's just interesting that pattern would be there. And I know you love a pattern.
I know. Farley, Harley, Luke, and Laura. This is now generally mentally ill instead of General Hospital. I don't know if that's funny. But for anybody that didn't watch, do you want to just give us like the two-liner of like what actually happened?
Yeah, I'm sure everyone who's made it this far probably has, but basically
I've been listening to, just real quick, I listened to all the Bachelor recaps because like I just love to kind of know, because I love Charity, but like I haven't watched a single episode. So like, you know.
Oh yeah, that is true. People do that. So okay. Luke is this Australian guy. He was like bad vibes from the jump. His first episode this season, he kissed Margot without consent. He said, oh, you have something on your face. Close your eyes. They were all at the bar. She closed her eyes and he kissed her. And it's like, what the hell? You can't do that. And this happens a lot on this show where guys do really creepy things that have no consent in the building. And it's just brushed off. So like, he was creepy vibes from the jump. Laura also kind of was creepy. So what happens in this most recent 2-episode arc is Margot, this Midwestern little farm girl, gets very drunk and her boss, Aisha, makes sure that she gets into bed because Margot's like, I want to go to sleep. Luke will not stop following her around. He's sitting in the backseat of the car and he's saying loudly so that everyone will hear, oh, do you want me to put you to bed? Like, he is so premeditated. Don't you think? Like, the way that he was trying to leave breadcrumbs to make it seem like he was getting consent when it's like, bro, she is not capable of giving it, like, is so creepy.
Well, premeditated 100%, but also, like, and again, like, I want to say that I am a tragic male apologist and I'm not apologizing for him, but I also think there's it's potential that what he's demonstrating is like just like the truly like damaged male perspective, which is that not only was he doing breadcrumbs, but like he really thinks like he's the man. Like, when you even telling that story, like, I made her close her eyes and kiss her, like, there's a part of it's like when you're reading that Aziz story and it's like, no, everyone knows like no doesn't mean no, bro. It's like they're not like, they would say that not to be like incriminating of themselves, but to actually be like, this is how like game goes, like when you're all but actually, yeah, he was breadcrumbing it, and he also was taking advantage of the fact that they were both drunk. Like, I thought it was really interesting that in the next day interview, when Captain's like, you know what you did? And he was like, I really don't even remember. And it's like, that is so convenient. That is so convenient that you don't remember, because like everyone was just like, because like Margaret didn't remember, like, they were all so drunk that like, it's possibly, it's like, of course he remembered, dude, of course he remembered. But yeah, it's like, I feel like drinking is one of these, I don't know. I texted you after watching these two episodes. I was like, I never want to drink again. Like, it showed how truly confusing drinking makes boundaries.
I know. But the thing is, like, how many times have you been drunk and you've never entered someone's room naked without consent and laid on top of them? Do you know what I mean?
Oh, no, it's not because of that. It was because Margo didn't remember. Yeah, I was thinking about Margo. It's like, wow, you know what? Like, if Aisha wasn't there. And right, that's where everybody doing a management training program needs to watch her, because it was not like a last minute thing. She started noticing, she kept her like leadership hat on, and she was noticing like something is not right. She told people, she was telling the people, she told not the crew of the boat, the crew of the show, like, don't let Luke in Laura's room. She checked in with Laura. Do you want to go in the jacuzzi with Luke? He's saying he wants to go in the jacuzzi. Or not Laura, Margo. Do you want to go in the jacuzzi with Luke? He's saying he wants to go in the jacuzzi. She's literally saying, no jacuzzi. It's sleepy time. Want to go to bed. I don't want to go with Luke. I want to get in bed. So then Aisha stays in bed with her until everyone's asleep. She says to the crew, don't let Luke into Margo's cabin. And then she goes to bed.
No, just she didn't even go to bed. She went to just get a snack for 2 seconds.
Oh, right. Recipe noodles. Noodles.
Noodles. She needed her noodles.
She wanted to get the noodles. And in that time, Luke, nude ass Luke, sneaks into
because the power goes out. He knew that this is how you also know that.
Right. That's where it's premeditated for sure. He's like, oh, great. Now it's like nothing. No one's seeing anything.
Right. Like, even if he doesn't remember, which I don't believe, but even if he doesn't remember, it's like, no, you have the wherewithal to be like, here's my chance because no one can see me. I'm going in now. So it's like, it's irrelevant whether you remember or not. No one would do that. That's so disgusting.
Right. It's like showing his true character either way. Like, even if he doesn't remember, that's what he would do. So you're officially a predator.
Also, like, not to get too armchair psychologist about it, but definitely to do that, because I love to do that. In one of the early episodes, he also confesses that he never had a father figure. And you could tell from the jump that he was a creep and he had masculinity issues. And then he's talking about how he never had a father figure. And he's like posting all these like shirtless selfies and like posing with his surfboard. And you're like, oh, this guy has serious issues. Like, I don't know. This is why, like, men that leave their kids ain't shit, because now.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Burrow is a furniture company known for timeless design and thoughtful construction, and free shipping, and that extends to their outdoor collection. Their outdoor furniture is built to withstand the elements, featuring rust-proof stainless steel hardware, weather-ready teak, and quick-dry foam cushions. For Memorial Day, get 15% off your Burrow purchase at burrow.com/acast, and up to 25% off outdoor. That's up to 25% off outdoor furniture at burrow.com/acast.
Look at the fucking monster you created.
Well, and what's even more devastating, Luke, after this episode was aired, posted a response. May I read the response?
Also, let me be clear, not everyone who doesn't have a father figure turns into a rapist. Obviously, just like not every Taurus is a dictator, but just this person's specific brain chemistry. I think this is how he reacted to not having a father figure, and like how all of his trauma like transmogrifies into becoming a fucking predator. And it's
great,
not to give
another great word. Transmogrifies is good. Right. And Molly, when I was interrupting her by complimenting transmogrify, says it's not an excuse. And I agree.
It's not an excuse. It's just, I just was like seeing how he acted from the beginning, hearing that he had no father figure and that really bothers him, was like, okay, got it. You know what I mean?
Right. Like, and even like knowing that is like, I mean, crashing a yacht, it's the tip of the iceberg. It's like, okay, cool. So like, that's your story. But in owning and claiming your story, one might seek treatment of whatever kind. Hey, I have a pain point about this.
Luke didn't crash the yacht.
Oh, I was trying to make a bad joke. I was just trying to make an iceberg joke. Like, it's like, that's like in dealing with, we all like have childhood traumas of whatever kind that we've incurred. It's like, to know about yourself, it's almost like he's using his storyline as a like, it's like, to me, it could be construed as also still breadcrumbing. Maybe it's unconscious. Like, it's like, do you know what I'm trying to say? I'm not articulating it well, but like,
yeah, like he's like, oh, if I'm fucked up, it's because of my dad. Not that I am. Like, if something were to happen, and he could have filmed that confessional where he said that about the dad after this had already happened. So like,
right. Yeah, you're right. Right. But, okay. He's like actively choosing not to heal. He's making excuses for why this is like the kind of guy he is.
Yeah.
Luke's response. So this is 2 years ago. Now it's airing. Luke's response. The picture is him pulling up his black wife beater, which we don't call it that anymore, but his black like ribbed tank top to show his like 8-pack. His Calvin Klein's are showing and underneath. And it says, it doesn't matter what they think about you because you don't care. Everything we hear, capital H, weird. Everything we hear is a capital O opinion, not a fact. Everything we see is a perspective, not the truth. Take ownership and move forward. First of all, that doesn't mean anything. Second of all, it's on camera.
Yeah, and who are you talking to? There's no, this is why like when
any guys out there are being accused of predatory shit or rape shit, remember that you know who you are, which is a kid without a dad.
Yeah, oh my God, what a piece of shit.
Piece of shit.
Okay, so at the same time that all of this is going on, or shortly after, Laura has been hitting on this guy. What is his? I can't ever remember his name. His name doesn't fit him.
Adam.
Adam?
It was Adam. Well, was it Culver? I think it was Adam.
No, yeah, it wasn't Culver.
I think it was Adam.
Whatever his name is, he's from freaking, he's tri-state area, bro. He seems like a really nice guy. He's just...
Oh, he's really, from here.
Yeah, he's really chill. And he's just, he minds his own business. That's what I'm trying to think of. Why was it so hard for me to think of that idiom? He minds his own business.
I couldn't remember sex ed, so all good. No judges from my end.
Yeah, so Laura also dropped a little, his name's Adam, you're right. Laura also dropped a little clue of being a creep in the beginning. She was like, I'm just like so sexual and I date everybody. Like she was just talking about how she like, she's like a minx. Like she was trying to get this real like sex kitten persona going from the jump. And you're just kind of like,
I feel like that's also her in the same vein of Luke expressing her trauma more indirectly because she fears, but she's like, I'm like a Russian. Like, did you see Red Sparrow? She's like, I'm from Russia.
Yeah. I don't know. I think she's just like, she's trying to make a case that she's desirable and people
yes.
And people like to hook up with her. in her life. And like, she's also kind of setting the stage for like, no, he didn't really turn me down. You know what I mean? But so she's just won't leave this guy alone for like so many days in a row on the show. She will not stop touching him, leaning on him, talking to him. He's turning her down in the most polite way, like over and over again.
Yeah.
He's at his wit's end. He's like saying to other characters, like, I don't know what to do. Like, she doesn't get it. And he's being so nice. And so then nice. Finally, after the whole Luke thing goes down, it's as if the two of them, I don't think they planned it together, but it is so strange that this happened within like 10 minutes of each other. And they've hooked up before too. She goes into Adam's cabin where he's trying.
Wait, to she's hooked up with Luke or she's hooked up with Adam?
She's hooked up with Luke.
Right. You could tell that when, because when he left, she was like, no, my baby.
I know. And it was like,
I wish he assaulted me. That's like what she said.
So awful.
Fucking
yeah.
Weird.
So she goes into Adam's bunk and she won't leave him alone. And she's like, I'm going to give you a massage. And he's like, no. And she's like, give me the lotion. And then she's like, she like squirts the lotion on him and she gets into bed and she starts like kissing his neck before finally a producer
straddling him while he's on it. They did the same shit, him while he's on his bed after he said, no, don't do this, rubbing back lotion and then kissing his neck going, you don't want me to do this. It's like, no, the answer is no.
Yeah. So gross. So gross. So then the next morning, like, she doesn't even, they meet up to find out that Luke's been fired and she's still hanging all over Adam. She's still leaning on him in the sexual harassment meeting.
She's like, oh, I'm killing you. I'm killing you.
Yeah, it was so insane. So that's the story of what happened with both of them.
Oh.
Part of the fallout is like, she then, like, not only most of the people on the boat rally around Margot to be like, oh my God, are you okay? You don't have to deal with that. It wasn't your fault, blah, blah, blah. Except for Laura, who's like, I wish he came to me. I would have let him in. Aren't you sad that he's fired? Don't you think they should have given him a warning? And it's like, no. What?
Actually, and for the record, they did give him a warning. They said, don't go in there.
Mm-hmm.
That's the warning.
Yeah.
That's the warning. So Laura took to Instagram after the episode aired and she said, my sincere apologies to Adam. I did not realize I made him feel uncomfortable and no one should be put in that position.
How did you not know that?
Right. I mean, that's right. That's maybe we'll come back to that when you have more time, but like, right. That makes no sense to me, but okay. And to Margot, to not have been able to empathize. I was 29 when the show was filmed. 30 was my life changer. I'm 31 now. And I'm watching it as all of you an entertainment show. There's a little nugget there. Not that it's an excuse. We don't give a fuck. But how interesting. All she's telling us here is it was my Saturn return.
Yeah. Yeah. That's literally it. It's so funny literally because it's like, I was 29. But now.
I know.
31. It's like, what?
It's like, you want, like, that to me is, and especially in a post-COVID world, it's like, yeah, I'm still 33. Like, everyone chill. Like that's the same age, but
it's, yeah,
that was my first thought. And then I was like, no, she doesn't know what she's giving me. She's giving me the gift of, oh, this was her Saturn return. And it's just another example of these like awakenings that happen where you have a real come to captain moment where you're like, fuck.
I think, yes, it was a come to captain moment. No, it was not an awakening because she still doesn't get it.
She still doesn't get it. But she at least apologized. Like, Luke really doesn't get it. She at least is on the journey enough to saying sorry. And that's a start. Saturn return healing and awakening doesn't happen overnight. And she can still be a weird person, a fucked up person. But like, I don't know. I just think it's interesting that she got fired. And then she had the worst year of her life. And now she's 31 and she realized she's sorry.
Yeah. Like 29 is way, way, way too old to be that unaware of social cues. Like, obviously there's no age when her behavior is appropriate, but like, especially like to make it sound like 29 is like young and immature. It's like, no girl, your frontal lobe is cooked. You're good.
Well, I do think that there's like in the same vein of like guys that like, this is my game. I'm just like aggressive because you like that. I feel like there's a version of woman that's like, hot girls can do anything. Nobody wants to reject a hot girl. And it's like, they do. And he was rejecting you. So
And like, you're not really.
I know, don't even.
Why did friggin' Chef give her the gift of being like, she's a beautiful girl. She doesn't know what it's like to be rejected. And I was like, girl, why do we just say this about people? People just say things. I don't know. Everyone's not beautiful and that's okay.
Maybe, you know, different types, different structure, different folks, you know?
I just am like, we don't have to say everyone's.
Yeah, we don't have to be. She's beautiful.
Yeah, like we don't have to. If I say that you look good, it's because you do.
I feel like soul, like you could be like, she's a beautiful girl. And it could be someone that you might've thought was like, I'll go on first brush. But like, sometimes people are just like so kind. And so like soul does like come through the skin and can make someone more beautiful. In this case though, it's like the opposite. So I don't really know.
Our question is that we're answering with the astrology right now, which is why the sudden sea change, no pun intended. In the way that we deal with sexual harassment and attempted sexual assault on camera on these reality shows, because as someone who has seen a lot of Below Deck, this is definitely the worst.
It's below board. It's below board.
It's not the first time. It is like far from the first time that people have drunkenly taken things way too far. And like, there's usually no consequences whatsoever. So my question to you about the astrology was like, how come this was handled so well? Like finally, not only in the universe of this show is it being handled well, but like in the universe of reality television and society in general, we're like, oh my God, this was actually handled well. So what was the change that brought that about?
I have a perfect quick answer. And in fact, it also is a case for divine timing. Okay, so first answer is that while this was being filmed, the South Node was in Sagittarius, the North Node was in Gemini. So when the South Node was in Sagittarius, we were all at the height of, because we were actually releasing, but it all comes, it's like when you pop a pimple and it's like the pus, you know, it's like that Sagittarius energy of like, not only drinking too much and what happens when we like party too hard, but also like, who do you think you are, Luke, to get in someone else's bed? The audacity of Sagittarius, the righteousness of Sagittarius, even if they're wrong, the beliefs that you hold about your power and fire and like how much people want you, you know, it's really not about other people. It's about you. And Sagittarius is about your power and your fun and your beliefs, right? North Node in Gemini means, no, we care about the crew. We care about other people. We care about the community.
We're so listening to other people and empathizing with them and understand and like almost
caring
into them. Like Aisha being like, I was sexually assaulted when I was drunk, and that's what I see happening. And that's what, exactly. Like, that is kind of a really good Gemini trait.
Right. Like, what is Gemini? Seeing ourselves in each other, seeing each other in ourselves. So she's like, wow, I see myself in this situation. So I'm going to, it is about team. I'm going to be with this person in my Gemini local community and do what I can to like be her twin, her partner here.
Yeah. She's like, I'm literally going to lay here and fuse with her body so that this guy can't get her.
Yeah. And then it's like, okay, but the episode's not aired for 2 years. Well, now is the perfect time for it to air because the South Node, what we're seeing an uprising of, which is to be released, is in Libra relationships, North Node in Aries. So why is it so important for this to be coming out now? Because the whole next 18 months is going to be all about unearthing toxic relationship patterns and actually everybody learning how to do the right thing, stand up for ourselves, and really become more autonomous in our lives on purpose.
Okay, that's so interesting and amazing. I gotta go. We'll talk about it more maybe next week or on the Patreon or something. Yeah, so
could be
patreon.com/spacetrash podcast. Everybody, we love you. Thank you for joining the Patreon. And thank you for
happy listening. Anniversary.
Thank you. Okay, I gotta go.
Okay, bye. Bye.
Space trash.
Trash in space.
Space trash.
Lifestyles of the rich and Uranus.
Space trash.
Celebrities, they're trash, but the astrology can help us understand.
Transmission incoming.
When you make decisions for your company, you look for the no-brainers. And if you have a lot of mailing to do, Stamps.com is the ultimate no-brainer. It streamlines your processes to make your business more efficient, which makes you less busy. Mail checks, invoices, legal documents, and everything you need to keep your business running with Stamps.com. Seamlessly connect with every major marketplace and shopping cart. Schedule package pickups and see your cheapest and fastest shipping options from different carriers. With rates up to 89% off USPS and UPS rates. And with the Stamps.com mobile app, you can take care of mailing and shipping wherever you are. Make the same no-brainer decision as over 1 million other businesses with Stamps.com. Sign up with code PROGRAM for a 4-week trial, plus free postage and a free digital scale. No long-term commitments or contracts. That's Stamps.com. Code PROGRAM.